Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Teacher and author of A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Global Awakening, which shares an intuitive, empathic view that the challenges and changes happening now are not merely the result of economic, political, societal events, just a disconnect from our true soul, wisdom, and soul being. And I am delighted to welcome Deborah Landwehr Engel, a repeat guest of the show and author of her new book, 20, A Story of Loss, Renewal, and the Resurgence of the Most Value and Emotional and Need of the Human Soul, which I believe is love of life. Hello, Deborah, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within. And for listeners...
Hello, it's for the...
Hello, yes. Hello, Deborah. Hello. For listeners to hear the former show Deborah and I shared on her award-winning book, Be the Light That You Are, go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to the radio page, March 2020, which wasn't so long ago. Deborah, as listeners from Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate experiences and insight into the dual nature of physical, emotional, and energetic life in the hopes of awakening to our intuition and higher consciousness, so we may begin to know we are indeed more than our physical bodies and the material and ego-based realities, and we're interconnected to all life and energy universally. Knowing this makes it possible to deal with challenges in a more compassionate and purposeful way without so much fear, and helps us to personally and collectively morph into our best version of ourselves. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Deborah Engel shares the fictional story of a young woman whose life is filled with loss and who, as a result, is unable for the moment to remember the magic of her childhood and how the sorrow of her adult life finally helps her to mystically remember the joys beyond the material world, regrets and guilt and sadness and loss, and to reconnect to those who she loves. Deborah, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, an event which may have signaled to them or to the people around them the lifestyle, work, and interest that they might pursue as an adult. Because I feel within us there's already a plan and a desire and a need to know ourselves more fully. And we spend our whole life just letting this unfold. So think back for a minute.
Sure. It's such a wonderful question, because I agree that we come into these lives with a plan and a propensity for gifts and graces and skills that we're here to share with others. And I would say that probably one of my grade school teachers, several of them actually, but one teacher in particular, Mrs. Hamilton, when I was in first grade, she was the person who one day when the class went to the school library, she had noticed that I loved to read, that I inhaled books. I was fortunate to be in a family where all of us siblings were read to daily. And so Mrs. Hamilton noticed that I kept going back to the same area of the library where the picture books were and the books that I had been reading for a while. And she was the one who paid close enough attention to realize that maybe I was ready for something more than that. So she introduced me to chapter books, or the next step up from those early readers. It introduced a whole new world to me. I felt like now the entire library was available to me. And from that point on, I was even more of a voracious reader, getting lost in people's stories and recognizing that I was happiest when I was sitting in my bedroom alone reading a good book, despite the fact that I had siblings and, and friends and lots of other things going on in life, I was a very shy, very introverted child. And it just
Well,
made
I
me
guess you
so
were a
happy.
sensitive, intuitive child, and you were developing that ability by learning more about yourself and the world through books. I was the same way. I remember my mother or my father calling me to the dinner table, and I couldn't leave my book, you know. I was so into it. And I remember I went to the library. I walked every week to take books back and to take new ones out. My parents encouraged that. So we were so very lucky to have people around us, because there's nothing more wonderful than learning about yourself, because there's synchronicity and coincidences in every story we read. So people may ask you, because we're not all that different, really. We're all energy, and we're all connected by energy, and we all will experience many of the same challenges throughout a physical life. So when we see that other people are doing that with us, it's very awakening and comforting, and helps us to flow and to accept life and its challenges. And your book is about that, accepting life and the different chapters of our life with grace and gratitude for living a life. So let's go on to, people may ask you why you decided to write this book and what the main themes of the book are.
Well, the first question is, it was really an assignment given to me back in July of 2012, when I woke up one summer morning and I had had a dream. This is so often where books and creations come from. My guide's spirit had spoken to me through the dream and had given me a dream that was about these mysterious green pearls. And all I remembered from the dream when I woke up was that in the dream, there was a person who took these green pearls that kind of melted into that person's yogurt or ice cream. They just melted as you stirred them in. And once you took them, 20 days later, you would pass on peacefully into the next life. Well, I was so intrigued by that when I woke up that I immediately knew I was supposed to write a book about it, to write a novel. This was news to me because I have been a nonfiction writer for years and years and years. I love reading novels, but I had been a writer of nonfiction. So the idea of starting a fiction story, digging in, starting just with the germ of an idea, because really that's all, just about all I had, was intriguing to me, but it was absolutely something that I felt compelled to do, that I was just following guidance in doing it.
And you were.
So that was really just
and you know, I believe everything of beauty and goodness and value and creativity comes through spirit, whether it comes in a dream or a thought or a vision. I was told many, many years ago, 25 years ago, that I would write three books. And I said to this person who was a medium, and I didn't believe in any of that airy-fairy stuff. That's what I used to think about, because I was a very practical, business-oriented person. And while I was very intuitive as a child, I had pushed that aside to try to be in the real world and not be so fanciful, as my parents wanted me to, you know, produce. So there I was, and I said to this medium, well, I don't think so. And then she said to me, but you're a medium. I said, oh, no, we're all just very intuitive. I don't think so. And as all the things she said to me started to unfold, I knew that I was being guided by a higher force, and I started to pay a great deal of attention to everybody I met and to journal every story, because I began to see how it was all interconnected. And it was a wonderful awakening to know we're not really alone, and that life is eternal, and we do survive. Our consciousness survives beyond this physical life. So that to me was the greatest piece of knowledge that spirit could ever give me. And the last 25 years has been spent writing those three books and doing this radio show and bringing this message to people, as you're doing in your book. So let's go on to suicide, despair, and loneliness are so very much a part of our modern daily life now. Does your book offer ways that the main character discovered which could help her solve some of her life-threatening problems? Tell us about the main character and what she was
Right.
dealing with.
Yeah, when I first started to write, I started again with those green pearls, and that actually became the very first paragraph in the novel. And so then I had to figure out, well, who is this person who has come to a place of such anguish or despair or loss of hope in her life that she would do this, take this action? The interesting thing about it was that the character, her name is Meg, she's 55 years old. And in the story, it's 5 years after her mother has passed away. She was the caretaker for her mom for a while before her mother passed away from Alzheimer's. And Meg also had a 10-year-old daughter, Rose, who died in an accident. So, as an outcome of that, Meg also was divorced from her husband. So, she's been through a series of losses, a lot of grief in her life, and a lot of the same things that all of us deal with every single day. But for her, at the beginning of the story, she's at a place where she's 55. She doesn't really have any family. She's not necessarily in a place of despair, but she is at that place where she doesn't really have any passion or drive for her life. She just feels as though she's done. And so
Yes,
this
I
decision
think you
to take this
expressed that.
birth, yes,
You expressed it
yes.
that she felt her job was done, and what else was there for her? That was
Right.
her feeling. Yeah, she had given up a little bit on life. So,
Right.
but tell us something. This is really important of the character at the beginning of the story, and when she was a sensitive child, an intuitive child, and she was with her mama, and they were out in the backyard hanging up laundry. Actually, I would really like to read what you wrote here. Yeah, because it shows who she was and who she might have forgotten she was when all the sadness started. So I'm going to read this, okay? Deborah writes,
Okay.
I still remember when I was 5 years old and we were out in the backyard. I helped Mama handing her the heavy damp shirts from the laundry basket. Suddenly she stopped, holding a clothespin in the midair, and said to me, "They're here, Meg. Can you feel them all around you?" I was wearing my favorite blue gingham pinafore and the kitten appliqué and a white bow in my hair, and I remember nodding my head and closing my eyes. I felt a brush of air against my cheek and ankles, then a beam of light warming the right side of my face, but I could also see and smell them. Something that had never happened before. They were like swirls of perfumed air wrapping themselves around me. "I see them," I said. I remember the startled look on Mama's face. "What do they look like?" she asked me. "They're pink and yellow and blue and green," I said. I felt peaceful. Whatever I saw felt familiar to me, like a memory. "They're tickling me," I said, and Mama laughed the tinkly chime of a laugh she had before everything changed. "Don't ever forget them," Mama said. "They're always with you." And perhaps that was your real inspiration for 20. Those
Yes,
were the guides
yes.
and the souls and the lights and the connection to their aura and chakra and their
Yes.
personalities and spirit. Yeah, I had those
Right.
images. I had those awarenesses as a child. I just didn't know what they were.
Right. Didn't know what to name them. And I think
Yeah.
the interesting thing is that Meg's mother encourages her. She
Yes.
doesn't say, "Oh, you're just imagining things." Or, "Oh, that's an imaginary friend." Or, "Oh, no, you didn't see that," or, "You didn't experience that." You can see so easily how so many children are programmed not to believe,
Well, that's what
to
happened
dismiss
to
all of
me.
the, yeah,
That's what happened to me
yes,
every time
how common that is.
when I would tell my mother I saw faces in the window, and we lived on the third floor. She would say, "You're having a
Yeah.
dream." Okay.
Right.
When I would feel
Right.
touches on my arm, and crawl through the hallway to my parents' room, sweating and scared, terrified actually. Oh,
Yes.
she'd just carry me back to my bed after I fell asleep. But yes, I'm encouraging people out there, parents, if you have children who are sensitive to these visions and to these feelings, it is a great gift and one that should be encouraged, because in time, one way or another, we all have experience with spirit. We all have a dream. We all know of someone's passing before it happens. It's a gift from spirit to all of us, this gift of intuition, and to remember who we are. So yeah, you were lucky you had
Yeah.
help with that. And I eventually found my way anyhow.
Right,
So
we always
so
do.
is Meg the main character based on someone you know?
She's a composite of a lot of different people. There's a little bit of me, there's a little bit of my mom, there's a little bit of a lot of women and girls that I know. I think that's one of the things that I've heard over and over and over again as people have read this book, is they say, "You've written my story." Or, how did you know exactly how it felt to lose a child? How did you know exactly what it felt to be a caretaker for a parent? There are things in the book that I haven't necessarily directly experienced, but I have seen others go through those experiences. And so it's kind of drawing from the ethers, from all of these different feelings and emotions and situations that I've witnessed and that I know have touched other people, and then putting them all together in this kind of amalgamated character of Meg.
Yeah, in the book, Meg is coming to terms with her past, her whole life, when she believes she may have only 20 days to live. And in doing that, she goes within herself, right? She reviews her
Yeah.
outside life and she goes within herself. And that was the fascinating thing about this story. Even though she believes she may die, this is not suicide in the way we normally think about it. She has taken action to potentially end her life, but now she has 20 days to face up to that decision and all the pain she has suffered. And in facing up to that decision, something wonderful really happens. And what is that?
Well, she learns to live again. She
Yes.
prepares to live
Right.
rather than preparing to die. And I think that it's one of the things that fascinated me so much when I started writing, is this idea that it isn't a conventional suicide, that she really does have this reckoning period where she gets to come to terms with what led me to this decision, and what do I do now that I don't know what's going to happen next. And in setting up that situation, it really is the situation that all of us are in. None of us knows how long we have here, but in whatever time we do have, are we going to make the decision to fully live? And in doing that, that means coming to a recognition of who and what we really are, of our eternal nature, of acknowledging the grief and the loss, but also opening up to love. Opening up even to new or renewed love, to, and probably the most important thing of all that really happens toward the end of the book, where she comes to a place of forgiveness for herself, for others, and for God. And I think in all of our spiritual teachings, forgiveness is that last step before we really get to a place of peace within ourselves and can live with freedom rather than feeling confined by our grudges or our sense of betrayal or anger that may stay with us for years, might, be the driving factor in our lives. So she's really able, through a series of different choices, as you say, both internal and external, to start to see herself in a very, very different way.
And I
And
think,
that's really what I'm,
yeah,
yeah.
I think that word forgiveness takes us behind all the pain. And if you have shame, I've never really known much of that in my life, because I accept things and I do the best I can to make other people happy and myself. And so I really haven't had much. But forgiveness, we all are hard on ourselves. And I remember as a child, my father said to me, "You're your own worst enemy, and you have to learn to say no, because I was such a sensitive. I just wanted to make people happy. And sometimes you have to, you know, stand up, have some boundaries so that you protect yourself and do what's right for yourself. So forgiveness is a very important aspect. And I think it does come with personal growth, perhaps age, perhaps loss. So your book did show that very nicely. And Deborah, I always have amazing coincidences or synchronicity with my very special guests. And the first one I noticed in your book was Meg's mother used her barn for her antiques and furniture repair. And I ran a tag sale business for many years. I studied interior design. I loved antiques, and I helped people sell the contents of their homes and emotionally make a big change from one part of their life to another. And I always kind of thought I would have a children's shop with antiques. So I laughed in that in your book. And then your mama in the book did yoga and had great balance when walking. And she had a very, you described her as a very sensitive spirited soul. And you described Meg, your main character, who married Joe Mitchell. And I have a nephew. I have a nephew, Mitchell. And my daughter was in a movie when she was a teenage, a young child actress. And Mitchell was the main character in her movie, 3 o'clock High. And you mentioned curly hair and faded freckles from childhood. And that was me and my daughter. But what I really loved was Dr. Edelman in his wisdom and kindness, where Meg got the pills when her mother was so sick with dementia, because the doctor had great regard for her mother and didn't want her to suffer. And that's why he gave her the pills. Because, you know, there are people who believe quality of life is more important than the longevity, and suffering is maybe, you know, or additional surgery or medicines that only keep you alive in a way that's not viable. It's not so wonderful. And I had a family doctor, Dr. Rubenstein, who used to come to my house, and I was sick a lot as a kid, and he would always give me a penicillin shot. And so I remember the way things were a while ago and how different it is now. So I really loved that in your book. So the next question, a very important question, is why is this the perfect time to read 20?
Yes. Well, I think it's a great question because so many people have posted in their reviews of the book or have told me that this is the book that they needed right now. I think one of the reasons is because they're is the sense of isolation that people are feeling, certainly from being quarantined.
Yes.
And I think so many people feel connected to Meg and to her story that it alleviates that sense of loneliness a little bit. It's kind of like somebody has seen my life through this story. I think another thing that's happened, too, is that there's, as Meg goes through these 20 days, she's cleaning house both, as you said, externally and internally. She's throwing away things. She's giving them to Goodwill. She's sorting and decluttering. And that's what so many people have done very naturally during this time of COVID, especially during the more intense social isolation time, is to get their house in order. And so I think people, as they've been throwing a lot of stuff away, they may or may not have really realized how much internal house cleaning they were doing too. And the book has helped them see that.
Well, you know, Deborah, I don't believe anything is random. And I believe what we're going through now is a very much of an opening of people's spirit and souls, because the universe wants us to take a leap forward. And yes, people are changing their lives. They're changing their jobs. They're moving. They're reevaluating. They're kinder. I go into places now where a person will hand me a cart that she's just wiped off, and she'll talk to me so gently and lovingly. And I think a lot of good's going to come out of this very, very traumatic time for us, and it already is. So, what would you like readers of 20 to take away with them after reading your fictional novel, but perhaps not so fictional? You know, my book, A New Life Awaits, that just came out also, is nonfiction, but it reads like fiction. So, our lives are intertwined with so many facets. Of what's real here in the physical world and what's real in spirit. So it is always a moving story of truth and growing personal development. So, what would you like readers of 20 to take away with them?
The main thing would be something so simple and something that I think we know but we forget, and that is to truly enjoy and celebrate every moment of our lives, especially right now when it can seem as though there's so much focus on loss and death or the
Right.
fear of illness and sickness, that even in the midst of all of that, we can train ourselves to see the beauty, because the beauty is always there, side by side with the pain. And by just shifting our focus a bit, we can see the gifts in this world. We can see life instead of death. We can see hope instead of despair. And we can really celebrate every single moment that we have here for however long that lasts.
Yes. And I would like to thank you, Deborah Engel, for that very sensitive remark and for your sensitive story of growing up and growing wise in the nature of soul life and how the physical is the stimulus to great personal growth and awareness and a return to our true nature or divine soul birthright, which is love and the connection we are able to make to nature, man, and spirit when we are in a state of conscious knowing that life is truly a gift. To purchase and read this imaginative and descriptive tale of awakening, go to Deborah Engel, Engle, .com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Deborah has shared in her book 20 the story of witnessing life loss while trying to understand purpose and love, perhaps hoping to end suffering for a relative who is at the end of life and might need a little assistance to transition, as Dr. Edelman said to Meg when he gave her 20 green gel-like pills that he said could peacefully help someone at the end of life painlessly cross over. Meg expresses it in the book this way. Dr. Edelman smiled. "I know it seems like you're playing God," he said, "but we play God every day when we give people medications or surgeries to keep them alive. Sometimes the more loving thing is to let them go." This doctor had taken care of Meg's mom for many years and always appreciated that she brought him flowers when she came for an office visit. Love makes people try to do the best for others, and sometimes it's hard to know what that is. Well, Meg never used those pills for her mother, but 5 years after her mother passed, at a low point in her life, she decided to take the pills. What she discovered was her life beyond the tragedies of divorcing a man she truly loved, losing her mom and dad, seeing her mom suffer from dementia, and the ultimate loss of her daughter Rose. Was that her life had held the magic of spirit, and her joy was perhaps even greater than her sorrow and loss? It may not be how long we live, but how much we have participated and shared love and kindness. Deborah and I would have you begin to reflect on the many experiences you have had and try to see them as puzzle pieces to the unfolding of the many spiritual gifts you brought into this world that you may have been unaware of for a while, and now can begin to see how the people, places, and experiences are the very necessary parts of your life, leading you to understanding, acceptance, gratitude, forgiveness in the end. For what can be seen as a wonderful life when you truly realize your own self-worth and how you were affected by and affected others in the course of your life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and author of my latest book in the trilogy, A New Life Awaits, which supports the view that our challenge is not really economic, political, or societal, just a spiritual disconnect from our true being or wisdom. Please go to my website to read about and listen to authors and leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, medical, psychological, and legal, as well as the arts and music fields, share ways to perceive with new vision our divine and physical lives for greater success and happiness. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.